This is All Things Considered from NPR News. Guy Raz is away. I'm Mike Pesca, fresh from the Values Voter Summit. Values voters, they go by many names. The Christian right, they don't like that one. Social conservatives, they're fine with that. Evangelicals, some of their leaders like that term best, but it's not descriptive of their politics. A few of the speakers, like Newt Gingrich, who addressed the conference today, define value voters by defining who they're against.
On the one front, we have a secular socialist machine led by Obama, Pelosi, and Reid. And on the other front, we have radical Islamists who would fundamentally change this country into a system none of us in this room would recognize.
A few years ago, it was conventional wisdom that value voters were the most underexplained but potent force driving Republican and therefore national politics. Then, beginning in 2009, the Tea Party rage became all the rage. So where did the value voters go? Well, some of the most influential of them, have come here to the Omni Shoreham Hotel in Washington, D.C. South Carolina Senator Jim DeMint attempts to push through a crush of admirers and gawkers. He's just delivered a speech boasting of his slate of very conservative candidates who won Republican primaries. His slate, because DeMint is the highest-ranking office holder most identified with the Tea Party movement. His PAC, the Senate Conservatives Fund, has not only backed, but in some cases all but groomed candidates who've pulled off shocking primary victories in Alaska, Kentucky, and most recently in Delaware. These victories ensure, in DeMint's words,
we have some candidates, folks. This is no longer voting for the least worst on the ballot. We've got some candidates that we can be proud of, that we know when they get to Washington that they're going to stand up and speak for you and the millions of Americans who for years have felt ignored.
DeMint is here to tell the values voters that the Tea Party victories are their victories too. The conference attendees seem to agree. A man offers, no, emphatically delivers a Bible into DeMint's hands and tells the senator God's blessed him. It seems like DeMint's being questioned by reporters from every Christian news outlet this side of the Davy and Goliath reruns on the Trinity Broadcasting Network. A reporter asks him if he has designs on a Senate leadership position or the presidency. DeMint's been riding a hot streak that'd rival a pre-bubble hedge fund manager. He says there were 1 million ralliers on the Washington Mall 3 weeks ago. Scientific estimates put the number below a tenth that. But to him, the turnout showed the power of the Tea Partiers, who he's cultivated, who, he says, share the most important beliefs with the voters in this room. I get him alone for a moment, and I ask him about that. What do you think the difference is between the Tea Party members and the value voters?
There is a relationship, and I think there is a strong faith component in the Tea Party movement, but it's very different than what I've seen before or things like moral majority. They're not pushing religion. They're not even pushing morality. They just consider bankruptcy as a moral issue.
Then do you think that the Tea Party and value voters are a sustainable coalition once we hopefully get past these tough economic times, the economic issues aren't in the forefront? Can the coalition, if you will, be fractured?
Well, I think, keep in mind, the Tea Parties are just the tip of an iceberg. There is an American awakening. For everyone who goes to a Tea Party rally, there are thousands of people who feel the same way. I don't think this is going to go away because power has shifted from Washington to the people, and I don't think they're going to let it go.
Wait a minute. If 1 million people showed up at the rally, and if there are 1,000 people for everyone who didn't show up, that would mean there are 1 billion Tea Party members, but there are only 300 million Americans. I'm checking your math here.
Well, I think when you get 1 million, it's a very different formula. But I find locally, if you get 500 people come out to a rally, just as you saw in Delaware, you probably had a few thousand Tea Party members in Delaware, but 10 times that many voted for her. So there is a connection there. The Tea Parties are more the activists, but millions of Americans feel the same way.
Back in the main ballroom, Michelle Bachmann has the crowd in rapt attention.
Until the ship sank from the point of impact. You see, this is the level of greatness.
Bachmann, a two-term member of Congress from Minnesota, can take a story and turn it into a parable that hits all the crowd's concerns of faith, sacrifice, and military. At times, her voice seems to be on the verge of breaking, but she holds it together.
Link of liberty, forged chain by chain, from generation to generation. It has never been easy. It has never been free. And so now it's ours. Now it's ours.
If Bachman's performance was all whispered awe, Senator Jim Inhofe's was brass tacks. He told the assembled, "I'm not going to talk about health care or the deficit. I'm here to talk about military readiness."
This administration is trying to destroy every institution that makes America different from other countries.
Specifically, he says, there's a defense authorization vote coming up on Tuesday. He says that riding on the vote would be the destruction of the 17-year-old compromise that allowed gays to quietly serve in the military.
I didn't think it'd work at that time, but it did. It was called Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It's something that if you are gay and you want to serve in the military, they don't ask about it, you don't tell it, you're not doing it openly, so that there are the problems that we all know about. And I think that they mentioned in my introduction that I was an Army veteran, and I think any of the veterans in this room, I don't have to tell you the problems that would happen if you have an open gay situation there where it allows people to use the military as a forum for their liberal agenda.
Afterward, I talked to Inhofe and brought up the bit about the Obama administration destroying the institutions that make America great. Then you started talking about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and I thought that was interesting because one of the arguments that people make for allowing homosexuals in the military is, look at all these other countries that allow it. Look at England, look at France, and they say it doesn't hurt them. But are you saying that the difference that America doesn't allow it is something that we should preserve and that we should celebrate that it makes us different?
First of all, I don't agree with you. All other countries do. They have different standards. But I'm not going to emulate other countries. You know, we do things better in this country. And that's the reason that I always use the chiefs of the four services are very strongly on my side of this issue. It's disrupt. It's not being against homosexuals. It's saying if you open up the military as a forum for that, for their cause, whether it's that cause or any other cause, it does a great disservice. And so that's been our position here, and it's worked very well for 17 years.
That issue, gays in the military, that's one of those social issues we're told isn't supposed to be on the top of the minds of Tea Party members. Taxes and the economy are their mantra. Remember, DeMint said the Tea Party wasn't pushing religion. If anything, a Tea Partier might take issue with an Inhofe statement that drew applause here, that he's proud of being a big spender in the area of national defense. So I asked the senator if he saw a difference between the Tea Party and value voters.
No, I don't. I think you see a lot of Tea Party people that are here, and I think that when the speakers are going to mention the Tea Party, which I didn't happen to, but several will, there's an applause. And so I think that they're really pretty much the same people, in my opinion.
The Tea Party has momentum. They certainly have the attention of the press and politicians. So it's not surprising that value voters would want to claim commonality. But what is that common ground? It doesn't seem to be a shared policy. It seems more like an idea of an idea, to take back government. But plenty of conference attendees were sure they stood with the Tea Party and vice versa. Bill Randles of Kansas City, Missouri, says the value voter Venn diagram is stained with tea.
I think a lot of the same people show up at both because people are animated by the same things. I mean, we tend to see the same people, whether we're going to local Republican clubs or to our church or to Tea Party rallies or to events like this.
A few yards from Bill and his wife, Bev Randles, stands Todd Dexter of Plano, Texas. To get to Todd, I have to traverse an array of Duggars, the homeschooled evangelical Christian stars of the reality show 19 and Counting. I can't tell if the four Duggars I step over are Josh, Jana, John, Jill, Jessa, Ginger, Joseph, Josiah, Joanna, Jebediah, Jeremiah, Jason, James, Justin, Jackson, Joanna, Jennifer, Jordan, Grace, or Josie Brooklyn. But eventually I get to Todd Dexter in order to ask him who he thought the Tea Party was.
Well, I think the truth is these people care very deeply about pro-life issues, care very deeply about the sanctity of marriage and kind of moral values that we believe are the foundation of our country.
You mean the Tea Party believes that? Or?
I believe so. I believe many do. It may not always be the official position, but those who go to those rallies, they very much embrace that.
Dexter has attended Tea Party events. Pollsters bear out his assertion that no matter what slogans the Tea Party vocalizes, a large majority of their members happen to be anti-abortion and anti-gay marriage. One problem is that the Tea Party is much more unofficial than values voters, who at least have established groups like the Family Research Council. They sponsored this conference. It's also true that now is not the time when conservatives are going to be carefully examining the fine gradations among their members. As Glenn Bolger, a Republican pollster, told me before the conference started.
When you have a bad economy, That sucks the oxygen out of almost all other issues.
Far from sucking away oxygen, conservative Republican politicians have wind in their sails. Now's not the time for their backers to question the exact direction of that wind. Just steer the ship to shore. After you win elections, that's when you could figure out how, or if, you could control the forces that got you there.